Hey, good vach, everybody. Always a schus to be together. Amatei Shabbos Kodesh, to learn together, to grow together. To pull Shabbos, Mirat Hashem, into the week. And tonight to prepare for Chanukah together as well, as the Shabbos Baruch. Before we begin, just want to say that all the Torah tonight, all the Chizik tonight, all the Soros tonight, is being sponsored anonymously. A very special tzedekes who's sponsoring for a family member who needs some yeshuos, needs refuos, and Mirat Hashem, the schus of all the Torah, all the chizikal Osiris, should be a big yeshua. To bring yeshua, to bring menuchas hanefesh to him, and should be a big schus for her entire family, for only simcha and bracha, Mirat Hashem. There's a story that some of you might have heard from me before, or maybe heard from others. It's a very famous story. But stories that are special, sometimes when you chazer them, when you review them, they make even more of a relation, more of an imprint. I remember my Rebbe, Reb Nachman Zvi Finkel, Zecher Tzadik Lishem Racha. There was one particular story, a very short story, he used to tell over about Reb Chaim Shmulevitz walking by and seeing little shoes being painted. Little shoes that were there for being painted for children. He told this story, and I heard that story from him probably at least 10 different times. It was something that was very special to his heart. And he saw the way my Rebbe's face, Reb Nachman Zvi Finkel, his face shined. The simcha, when he would tell over that story. Actually, anytime he mentioned his Rebbe, Rechai Shulevitz, his face would shine. And there's something about it. Every time I heard that story, and obviously it was because it was from him as well, I literally just started crying. It was just an emotional experience. And there's something, stories that we connect to, can make a big roshim, and hearing them again and again, sometimes they go a little bit deeper. This story is probably my personal favorite Chanukah story. It's not a story of Nisim Gluyim, although in a certain way it is. But it's made a big Roshim on my life. It's made a big imprint on my life. During the Holocaust, there was a very special tzaddik, a survivor of the Holocaust, a Kaddish de Gayid, Rabbi Yisrael Spira, the Blush of a Rebbe, Zeche Tzaddik Hashem Racha. The Blush of a Rebbe was in Bergen-Belsen. When he was in the Holocaust, Chanukah was coming. And he was in a barrack full of Yidden. Many of us have visited and seen these barracks, what they were like. Cold, stale rooms. 6, 7, 8 Jews laying on a wooden platform that was fit for maybe 3 or 4. Nothing else in the entire barrack. And some of the Jews in his barrack decided they're going to try their best to get their hands on something that they could light, to light the Chanukah licht in Bergen-Belsen. And one Jew, he saved, he got a potato, and he carved it out so there would be a place that they could light. And another Jew wasn't able to get Shemen Zayas Zoch. There was no pure olive oil. But some tar that would be used as fuel. And another Yid, he took a little piece of his laces from his shoes, and he made a wick. And they were excited, they were going to light the Chanukah lich that first night of Chanukah. And of course the Rebbe was going to be the one that lights the menorah for everybody. And they waited until it was very late. They waited. So they thought it would be safest, of course. There was no time that it was actually safe. At any moment, they all could be killed for such an act. And the Rebbe went, and in front of all the other Jews, he made the brachas. And he made the bracha of Lahadlik Ner Shel Chanukah. And he made the bracha of Sha'asa Nisim. And then he stopped. And he looked around at all the Jews that were gathered there. And he turned back to this makeshift menorah. And he made the bracha, Shachiyanu v'kimanu v'gyanu l'zman hazeh, and he lit the menorah. And after lighting the menorah, a Jew, a Yid from the back, a liberal Jew, who was very close with the Rebbe, but used to very often argue with the Rebbe, he screams out to the Blujava Rebbe, Rabbi, I get it that you want to light the menorah. I get it that you want to perform a mitzvah, even here in Bergen-Belsen, even here where our life will be at risk. I understand all that. And I understand you're going to make blessings on the menorah, the way we all used to do. A bracha of Lavlik Nesha Chanukah, a bracha of Shas Anisim. But how could you say, Shechiyanu v'kimanu v'gyanu l'zman hazeh? How could you make such a bracha? How could you thank Hashem? Shechiyanu v'kimanu v'gyanu l'zman hazeh, that we're living and we reach such an incredible time. Look at us. We're mere skeleton of human beings. We've all lost our entire families. We have nothing. Thank you, Hashem, for this moment. Thank you, Hashem. Shechiyanu v'kimanu v'gyanu. Thank you that I reached such a milestone in my life that I'm stuck in a barrack in Bergen-Belsen to light a menorah. Really, Rabbi? How can you make such a bracha? And the blush of a Rebbe is a chesedek hashavracha. He turned to this man. And he said to him, I want you to know, I had the same question. If you noticed, I didn't immediately make that bracha. I wasn't sure if I should make such a bracha in this time in history. But then I turned and I looked at the Yidden in this room. And I saw Jews with excitement in their eyes, who were willing to be Meiser Nefesh, were sacrificing literally their lives to light a Chanukah licht. If the Nazis walk in at any moment, we could all be killed. And I said to the Rabbi Nishalom, to the Master of the World, Shechiyanu v'kimanu v'gyanu lazman hazeh. Thank you, Hashem, for this moment in time. Thank you, Hashem, for being part of this Heilige group of tzaddikim that after all the Gehenim we've been through still want to be Mekayim mitzvahs and are willing to risk their lives for it. Shechiyanu v'kimanu v'gyanu l'zman hazeh. Can you imagine that bracha? Can you imagine that moment in time? Can you imagine those holy Jews? So Baruch Hashem, each and every one of us here, when we light our menorahs, we're there present by the menorah being lit. We're not risking our lives. And Baruch Hashem, even with all the difficulties we have, and every one of us has our lives, that we our challenges, our nisyonos, our trials and tribulations, ultimately, Baruch Hashem, we can't compare to what that was. So we're so excited. We can say a different type of Shechiyanu. Mir Tashem, a week from tomorrow night, we're going to also be saying Shechiyanu. And this Yontav of Chanukah, that clearly this tells us, this story tells us, and many others, and so much we're going to learn tonight, is a Yontav that's kept our nation going in a certain sense. The Yontav in the darkest of times that brings us light, that brings us are. And we've had difficult, the last few years have been difficult years for Klal Yisrael, for the world. We're going to enter back into Nacha Chanukah. And we should be so excited to say that bracha, Shechiyanu. And think about when we say that Shechiyanu, Amir Tashem, a week from Sunday night, all that you have to be thankful for. Yeah, there have been some difficulties. Yeah, there have been some nisyonos. But I'm pretty sure every person in that barrack and the Rebbe himself had bigger nisyonos. And if he could say such a Shachianu, we could say such a Shachianu. We have so much and focus on all we have in our life. And all Hashem has given us in life. And let's prepare for this Heilige Yontif that represents that aur in the deepest of Choshech. And that aur is so bright, that aur could light up the world. That's what Chanukah is. You know, it's incredible, the power of light. The power of light is so much stronger than the power of darkness. You have a room pitch dark, you light one candle, it brings so much light. A little candle brings so much light to the entire room. And that's the light of Ruchnius, the light of Torah that we have in our life. Aviraya, we're all here tonight. Matei Shabbos, we could be in a lot of different places. We know people that are in a lot of different places. We have that aura, we have that light, and that light could always shine through. And the emphasis, that's what Chanukah is all about. So let's learn together and prepare together, because it's so important. You know, not just, if you just walk into Chanukah, it's nice, it's fun, we could play dreidel, we could have some latkes, go to a Chanukah party, light the menorah. Don't we want to walk into Chanukah and out a completely different person? Don't we want to walk into Chanukah and be inspired? Walk into Chanukah and walk out lichtig, and lichtig for the whole year. That light of Chanukah could be, I could be shining. Until the light is just shining and just continuously going. It doesn't stop. So you have to do achana for that. You have to prepare for that. You have to learn for that. You have to understand what we're going to tap into. So let's learn. Let's learn. And it's amazing. I just want to say this Sadekis who called me the other day and wanted to sponsor tonight's shir for Yeshua, some Menuchas HaNefesh, for the relative that she has. It's really incredible, everything in Hashgacha, because it's everything we're going to talk about tonight. But that means every one of us on our own levels needs this. There's a Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Chaf Aleph Amevez. And the Gemara tells us, all the Gemara is about Chanukah and Shabbos. When it starts talking about Shabbos candles, so it goes on a tangent, talking about Chanukah candles. There's a lot of depth in that. And we'll see some of it maybe tonight. Amri la Amar Rav Zeir Amar Rav. Pesilos u'shmanim. The wicks and the oil. The wicks and the fuel. She'amur chachamim ein la'likim ben b'Shabbos. The rabbis teach us, we're not allowed to use them on Shabbos. Madlikim behen b'chanukah. You're allowed to use them on Chanukah. Meaning what? There are halachos about Shabbos candles. We're very used to, we light, whether it be wax candles or oil. But there's only particular types of wicks and oil or fuel that you use for Shabbos candles. Why is that? Why is that? Because we need to make sure that Shabbos candles burn bright, and Shabbos candles give off beautiful light, and Shabbos candles don't have where the wick struggles to pull the fuel up the wick. Why? Because we're afraid if that happens, it's going to be the fire is going to be extinguished. And first of all, as the Gemara continues, the purpose of Shabbos candles is to use them. The purpose of Shabbos candles is to bring Shalom Bayis and to light up our house. Let's remember, there was once a time they didn't have electrical light like us. Shabbos candles was lichtig. Brought all the light into the house. If you didn't have the Shabbos candles, you didn't have light to eat your sudel el Shabbos. And you couldn't light new candles. If it went out, so if it didn't burn bright, and the lights went out, you'd be left with nothing. You'd be left with nothing. And additionally, we're afraid if it's flickering and not the chas v'sholom, a person may go over and play around with it a little. And cause it to burn brighter, which would be usur on Shabbos. So we want to make sure that there's good oil, there's good wicks on Shabbos. Chanukah, as we say, Haneiros Halala Kadoshem, Ve'ein Lanu Rishus L'Shtamish Bem. Ein Lanu Rishus L'Shtamish Bem, right? We're not allowed to use the light. We're not allowed to benefit from light. You all learned at a very young age. That's why we have Shamish. In our day and age, we have electrical light, but you're not allowed to benefit from the light. It's holy, it's Kadosh. So we're not concerned. We also, if the light went out, there's no chiv to relight it. If you lit a menorah with all the possibility to last for an hour, you're mekayim your mitzvah, we paskin. Ablak goes a mitzvah the moment you lit it. If it goes out, it's fine. Of course people like to relight it, but you don't have to. So there's no concern. We don't have the same concern. And most of Chanukah is also weekday, but even on Shabbos, we don't have the concern that there's any problem if it doesn't light bright and beautiful and clean. Of course, the mitzvah min hamuvchor, the best way, the mahadrin, is to use shemen zayis, that's what the nace, and also we want it to burn bright, but if you didn't have that, completely mutter to use, unlike Shabbos. Okay, that's the halach. But like everything in Torah, there's a lot of depth. And the Hilul Gemara and I learned such a deep idea that I saw this year. You know, it is sometimes, there are Torahs, I don't know why, this is how the Rabbanu Shalom works. It's like you could learn your whole life, and every year Chanukah comes, and you're learning Torahs on Chanukah and opening Svarim, and then like it's amazing how it works. This year I saw this Torah in one sefer, I open up another sefer, I see it there, everywhere I look, this is what the Rabbanu Shalom is showing me. This is clearly what we're supposed to be learning tonight. This is what the Rabbanu Shalom wanted to teach each and every one of us, I believe. He says, you know, the Pasuk says, Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam. Pasuk says that the neshama is compared to a candle. That's why there's a minog we know that when you have a yahrzeit or by a kever, you light candles. And that's why it is every Friday night that your mother's light, Shabbos licht, keneged the people in the family, each candle representing another person. That we're that candle, we're that psil, we're that wick. The candles represent us. So what's Shad? Let's understand, listen closely. Shabbos is Shabbos Kodesh. Shabbos is very holy. Shabbos is this incredible day that's what's called Isrusu de la'el. It's a holiness from above that God created. We don't create Shabbos. God created Shabbos. It's incredible Kedusha on the highest of levels. Higher than any Yontif. Higher than any other day. Even higher than Yom Kippur in certain ways. It's only one day a year that we have 7 Aliyos in Shul. It's on Shabbos. Even Yom Kippur we only have 6. On Yontif we have 5. Rosh Chodesh, Chol HaMoed 4, Monday, Thursday, 3. Because it's so holy, not everyone could tap into it. You have to be on some level of Madrega to feel Shabbos. To feel the Kedusha of Shabbos. You have to prepare for it. The Gemara of Avodah Zarah says, Misha Torach Be'erev Shabbos Yoichel B'Shabbos. That's not just physically. Misha Torach Be'erev Shabbos. Someone who prepares on Erev Shabbos can eat on Shabbos. That does mean, obviously, if you don't prepare food, you can't eat on Shabbos because you're not allowed to cook on Shabbos. But it means spiritually as well. You have to prepare for Shabbos. You have to have an Erev Shabbos Kodesh. You have to know what you're getting into. We prepare physically. We take a shower. We get dressed nicely for Shabbos. We prepare suddas for Shabbos. But Beruchnius also. When you light the Shabbos licht, are there tefillos like any other time in the week? That's a chana to enter into such a Kodesh Dika time. Feel Shabbos. So not every single type of person could feel Shabbos. You have to be on a madrega to feel Shabbos. Halavai, we should, and it's Kodesh Kedoshim, and it's awesome, and it's incredible. And I don't know what we would do without Shabbos, but not everybody does. And look what's happened over the last few years. I feel strongly, and it's said, that part of the consequence, the churban of the pandemic that we've been through, has been some level of desecration of Shabbos. And people have not gotten up from it since. Some yes, but not all. The way people have dressed on Shabbos. So suddenly, because for a few months, people were home in their homes and not going to, there was no shul, and there wasn't, in most places, people going to other people's homes, and a lot of people told me Shabbos, so they dressed b'chol. People stayed in their pajamas all Shabbos. People stayed in their pajamas for 4 months straight. Like literally. So Shabbos was no different. And Shabbos suddas, what were they? And there was no shul, there was no outside influence, there was no kedusha and ruchnias that we got from the outside. And unfortunately, sadly, that left a roshim, and I still see it. I believe strongly. I walk the streets. I think people are not dressed the same way they used to dress. You see it, and in children, and in teenagers, and in parents. It's a begam on Shabbos. So people are not feeling Shabbos in the same way. And shul's not the same. Shul's not as full as it used to be. Still with side minyanim and outside minyanim and all these minyanim. Same people that are, some of them, not all, obviously there's certain people, but some people that will go inside for everything else. Still outside minyanim. But they don't realize you're missing a very, very important chelik of Kedusha, of being Bereva Amhadras Melech, of being together with other Yidden on Shabbos to feel Shabbos. You can feel the same Shabbos when, okay, if you had to be, for times we had to be, and it was what it was that the Eibishter wanted for us. You can't feel Shabbos the same way in a backyard. You just can't. It's not the same. And to begin with, we're saying Shabbos is harder to connect to because it's such a Kedusha. Not everybody feels Shabbos. Some people look at Shabbos as just a day off. A day to sleep, to eat, to relax. All begashmi, a physical day of relaxation. A physical day of enjoying myself, basically. You understand the ruchnis of Shabbos? Shabbos Kodesh. But the tefillahs should be on Shabbos. Finally, all week long, you have excuses, and we do. Because we're running places. So how much time do I really have to daven? And I have responsibilities, and I have work, and I have school, and I have whatever it might be. Shabbos, suddenly I can daven. So are we utilizing the time and davening slowly? So we can tap into the Kedusha of Hashem, the Kedusha of Shabbos. Shabbos, I can sit by a suda with my family. And I don't have to be a half hour suda to quickly eat and go do my own, everyone does their own thing. We could sit, and you could sing, and you could talk Torah, and you could talk Ruchnias, and talk Hashem. Talk Hashem. You know, we're coming this Thursday, Thanksgiving. Shabbos shouldn't be a weekly Thanksgiving feast. Shabbos should be Kedusha. But it's hard. Not everybody feels it. So, Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam, the Meraynayim says, not all psilos are shayach to Shabbos. Not all wicks are shayach to Shabbos. Shabbos is very holy. But all wicks are shayach to Chanukah. All oil, all fuel. Meaning, what's the Eibishter trying to tell us? Every person's shayach to Chanukah. On Chanukah, we're all ignited. On Chanukah, we could all gain from the Eibishter. On Chanukah, every single Jew could feel something. On Chanukah, we could look at it as to be reignited, beruchnius, more so than any other time in the year, even those that don't feel anything else. And look at it. It's Mamish Emes. If you look, it's an amazing thing in the non-from world of those Yidden that hopefully will be Sharmei Torah Mitzvos Bekaro. Yidden that, for whatever reason until now, don't yet keep any other halachas, are eating on Yom Kippur. I'm not judging who knows where they come from, I'm just putting the facts out there. Eating on Yom Kippur, you know, bread on Pesach, but you know, Chanukah, they're going to light a Chanukah menorah. They're going to have even the electric menorah in their window, whatever it might be. Suddenly Chanukah, every Jew lights the Chanukah menorah. It's like an amazing thing. I feel something. I want to connect. I want to attach myself. The emes is what Chanukah is all about. The emes is Chanukah is all about, even in the darkest of times, in the darkest of hours, there's light. Never to give up. Never to be misyayish. Never to be down and out and realize I'm a Yid and I have a neshama in me, and that neshama is a chelik alakami ma'al mamish. It's part and parcel of Hashem. And even if I have so much darkness through my guf on the outside and I've created through what I've allowed myself to watch and be a part of and whatever it might be, I have ruchnis inside. And that could shine through, and Chanukah, I'm reminded of that. Because that's what Chanukah is all about. It's an amazing thing. Chanukah is the only yantiv that's so late in the month. Every other yantiv is the beginning or right in the middle of the month, right? So Pesach and Sukkot start Tesvav, middle of the month. The middle of the month is the brightest time. It's when the moon is completely full. Even if you want to say Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur is more towards the beginning of the month. It's when the moon, when the light is building. Chanukah is the only yantiv. It starts at the end of the month. It starts when the light is dwindling. When the moon is dwindling, 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 till it's complete darkness. Till it's complete darkness. But during Chanukah itself, we have Rosh Chodesh. And it starts to rebuild. And it starts to reignite. Because that's what Chanukah is all about. It's saying, even if you feel you're falling, you're falling, you're falling, you're falling, I could get back up. And I'm going to be reignited. And I have a light that could do away with all the darkness. You know, there's a Gemara in Sukkah. And the Gemara in Sukkah says, whatever this means in a deep level, but that Hashem doesn't go lower than 10 tefachim. The Shekhinah doesn't reside like close to the ground. The Shekhinah, when this world is above 10 tefachim. Okay, take that. Accept. That's what the Gemara tells us. But you know what's incredible? You know where the best place to put the menorah is? Where the menorah is supposed to be? Again, if it's above this, you're still Yotze, and some of us have to because where our windows are, whatever it might be. But the best place is in between 3 and 10 tvachim. Shouldn't be lower than 3, because if it's lower than 3, there's a din called lavan, and it's like 3 tvachim are like attached to each other, so it's like it's sitting on the ground. That's a bizarion, that's a disgrace. It doesn't look like you put it there for a mitzvah, so it shouldn't be lower than 3. If it was, you're still Yotze, but it shouldn't be. And it shouldn't be higher than 10 tefachim, because higher than 10 tefachim, which is about 40 inches, it looks like it's there for illumination. That's like a lamp, which it's not supposed to be either, right? We're not supposed to use it. So it's supposed to be lower than 10 tefachim. The menorah is supposed to be exactly where generally the Shekhinah does not reside. You know why? Because one time a year it resides even there. One time a year the Ribbono Shel Olam even comes lower than 10 tefachim. It says, I'm going to pick you up from anywhere. I'm going to lift you up wherever you fall. I'm here for you. I'm here for you. We have to believe in that. The Chanukah menorah is supposed to be b'chutz. It's supposed to be outside. Okay, our minog, we light inside, many of us, bizman hazeh, for various reasons. But it's really supposed to be b'chutz, like in Eretz Yisrael, like we've seen. Mirat Hashem, I'm going to be there, first night of Chanukah. Hopefully we'll all be there. Mirat Hashem, you'll all be there. But I can't wait. The last time I lit a Chanukah licht in Yerushalayim, it's like 22 years ago. Pes Hashem is Baruch. It's going to be a chash of Shachiyonu. Pes Hashem. But it's supposed to be b'chutz, it's supposed to be outside. Chutz outside represents that which is outside pni, outside ruchnius. Lower than 10, outside, in the worst of places, in the lowest of places. However, we all fall. Every one of us could admit we have areas that we've fallen in. And we all have nisyonos, we all have trials and tribulations. Chanukah lights it up. Chanukah lights it up. Chanukah doesn't matter what type of person where you're holding every single psil, every shmonim. It's all mutter. It's all good. So the Maranayim, the Chernobyl is telling us. The Maranayim is teaching us this. It's beautiful and wonderful. That itself is tremendous chizik, just to know that I'm going to walk into such a lichtige time. I'm going to walk into a time that I could be lifted up, that I could be ignited, that I... Right? It's exciting, it's important. But lemaisa, sometimes, sadly, for many of us, we get lifted up, but then we fall right back down. Let's be real, we've all been there before. The Chanukah also teaches us why we were dark. There's a lesson here to teach us how to stay lichtig, to stay lit. It's a Torah based on something I saw from the Avodah Zarah Yisrael, Heilige Kashrus or Magid. The Zmanim of Chanukah are very interesting. You're supposed to start lighting the menorah from Shkia. That makes sense. From sunset, it has to be at dark, which also makes sense. It should be in the time of darkness. That's where we're bringing the light, even in the time of darkness. But the end time is very interesting. It's not any of the zmanim we're used to. We're used to seis hakochavim, nightfall. We're used to chatzos, midnight. The zman is ad shetichla regel minashuk. it's until people are no longer outside. Now that already makes sense on some level, because of if there's a big part of the mitzvah is pursuing Nisa, a big part is publicizing the miracle, it has to be when people are outside. It used to be when no one else was in the marketplace, everybody was inside. Again, there was no lamps, there was no electric light, there were no cars. But the Gemara continues. What does that mean? It says, V'ad kam, until when? Listen to this. Amar Avarachan, Amar Av Yechanan, Adikalya Rigla de Tarmodai. What does it mean until people left the marketplace? Until the people of Tarmodai left. They were the ones you have to, you're allowed to light the menorah until the people of Tarmodai. Who are those people? So those are people that sold wood. The people would use the wood to light their fireplace, to warm their house, to light their ovens. And they stayed in the marketplace very, very late. They were like the last ones. They were closing the marketplace. So until they're still there, you light the menorah. The Pasha Pshat is because they were the last ones. That's why we use this example. But I think there's something so much deeper. Because there's another Gemara in Shabbos that talks about these people. And what was it about them that was interesting and different? The Gemara talks about the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Lamed Aleph. There were two people, and they're having a bet. 400 zuz bet. You'd be awarded 400 zuz if you could aggravate Hillel. The great Hillel, apparently, was a very calm individual. Never got aggravated. Never had kas. Never had anger. So they said, whoever could aggravate Hillel will get 400 zuz. So there's one guy, the Gemara goes through, it's a crazy Gemara, all these very interesting and crazy questions that he's going to Hillel and asking him very strange, weird questions to try to aggravate him, like annoy him. Trust me, as a rabbi, you could hear this. You know, people ask you a lot of questions and they have a lot of patience. Don't stop asking. Don't worry, I didn't mean that in that way. I'm just saying. So here's one of the questions. Shol, he asked Hillel, Mipnei ma einehen shol tarmodian. These people, why are their eyes shrutos? They were always very blurry. They were always, they couldn't see well. They were always flinching and keeping their eyes watery. Why were their eyes, they had major eye issues. Why was that? So he very calmly answered back this interesting, unique, meaningless shaila. Amar lo, Bini, my son. She'ela gedoyla shalter. You ask a great question. It's very nice, Tim Hillel. And he answered, Mene shedarin bein hacholos. Because they live by the sand. They live by the beach. Now, pasha pshat, simple explanation, we all understand, right? Meaning if you live by the beach, and you're near a lot of sand, so if it's a very windy day, the sand will be flying around, they would often get in their eyes. And they, in other words, what are you saying? They constantly had sand in their eyes. And the sand had an effect on their eyes. So they were blurry-eyed. Again, these are the same people which tells us until these people are around, you could light the Chanukah licht. So maybe there's a deeper message here. And what I'm about to say now is based on Avad Yisrael, but it's a little bit my own take. Chol is sand. Chol is sand, right? What else does chol mean? I'm sure you all know. Chol is the mundane. Chol is the physical. Chol is the materialistic. The opposite of kadosh. The opposite of ar is chol. You know what we're learning here? From these people that you could light the menorah until they left. We're trying to tap into this and learn the following lesson. Their eyes being blurry meant they were blurry from even seeing Kedusha, from even seeing Ruchnius, from seeing Pnimius. Because they had Chol. Because they were living a life of Chol. When you live a life of materialism, You live a life that's very mundane. You live a life steeped in the gashmias of the world we live in. That what's important to you, what's important are the patches on one's coat. Or what's important is knowing in the entertainment world, you know, all that's going on in every single model's life. Or it's important to have shoes with red bottoms. You know, if these are the things that are chashuv, that are important, this is what my life is about. I'm not saying you can't have these things, by the way. Listen closely. It can't be important. It can't be what's part of my life, where my eyes, what I'm looking. I'm looking for a world of chayil. Because if I have a world of chayil, it blurs my eyes. I can't taste ruchnius. I can't taste kedusha. I'm lost. I've fallen. The menorah comes as mekadesh that. The menorah comes and reminds me, ki ner mitzvah b'torah ar. You want light in your life, it's Torah, it's mitzvahs, it's ruchnias. It brings me back my sight. To do away with the choyl. So specifically, it's while these people are around, I have to light the menorah. To do away with the choyl. It's specifically that. Those people that were influenced by the choyl, who couldn't see. So I want to see, I light my menorah to see. To see what's chashiv. To be reminded what should be important in my life. Torah, and mitzvahs, and family. Relationships. Nothing chayil. Kedusha. Because when I have chayil, it blurs my vision. I'm not able to see. I don't taste the kedusha that's there the whole time. I'll give you a mashal. I've shared this before. You know, I personally love Tropicana orange juice. Love it. Not sure why any other company makes orange juice. It's only like, no one, for some reason, I don't know, they all say they're 100% purely squeezed orange juice. But somehow only Tropicana gets it right. Like the rest, they're just not good. I mean, drinkable maybe at times, but nothing compares. It's unbelievable. So what happens at night, if a person goes and brushes their teeth, and then after brushes it, right after, 10, 15 minutes later, goes and pours a cup of Tropicana orange juice. Hey, you've tried that before? It's disgusting. It's mamish, like, you can't drinkable. You drink it. You'd rather drink anything else. You think, you gotta check, maybe it's one of the other brands, you know, like maybe someone switched it on you. Now, by the way, is there anything wrong inherently with that orange juice? That orange juice is kadosh. That orange juice is delicious. It's tasty. But your taste buds are off. Your taste buds are completely off because you've coated your mouth in toothpaste so the orange juice doesn't taste the same. When a person coats their life in choyl, when a person takes their eyes and allows it to be penetrated by the sand, by the choyl, no longer could I see kedusha. No longer could I see happiness. No longer can I see what's chashiv. No longer, I'm completely contaminated by my surroundings, so I don't even know what emes is anymore. L'mashal, an extreme example, you know, an individual, lo aleinu, is an addict. And that addict, whether it's alcohol, whether it's drugs, whatever it might be, thinks that they're allowing themselves to indulge in is bringing them happiness. It's a momentary pleasure. But ultimately, you know what it does to the rest of their life? They can't even see emes anymore. They don't even know what anything else that's important. It's so sad. The only way they'll be able to see emes is if you rip away the impediment. If you cleanse them, you clean out the mouth, you could taste the delicious orange juice. You have chayil, and there's so much focus on chayil. And the chayil, it blurs our eyes, it blurs our mind, it blurs our heart. So I can't appreciate the beauty of this world that we really have. We have so much beauty, and it's for free. We, each and every one of us, we have this incredible relationship with Hashem. We have a Tata in Helmel that loves us, that cares about us. It's not just our Father in heaven, you know what it is? He's within me. I have a chelik of Him within me that I'm connected to. He allowed you to be raised to learn and understand what Torah mitzvahs is, to know what purpose of life is. Yet I get confused by the outside world at times. I get confused by the chayil. It comes one time a year, more than any other time. There are other times, but other times you have to be able to prepare. You have to be on a madrega. This Shabbos is kadosh, but sometimes a little too holy. Comes Chanukah. Kol hapsilos ushmanim. Every person can be lifted up. Every person can be ignited. Every person can be reminded who we really are, and to do away with all the chayil. It came to me, I was preparing this the other day. If you look at the word chayil, chayil is ches, vav, lamed. You know how you do away with that chayil, that mundane world? You have eight ches, you have 8 days. And vav, lamed, lamed vav is 36. And during those 8 days, you know how many candles you light? Not with the shamash. The shamash is extra, not part of the mitzvah. How many candles? 8 plus 7 plus 6 plus 5 plus 4 plus 3 plus 2 plus 1. Do the math. 36. Chol. You have ches, you have 8 days. Plus 36 candles. Okay, if you want to do the word, the whole gematria, ches, vav, lamed, vav, is 44. That's with the 8 shamashim, okay? So you can do it that way also if you like the shamash, if you didn't like that. It works that way also. That's the void of the chayil. The void of the chayil. To do away with the chayil. To get into our eyes. Through staring at the Chanukah licht. And reminding us. Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam. That you have a neshama within. And ki, that the ner is not just Nishmas Adam. But it's mitzvahs. And it's Torah. Ki ner mitzvah v'Torah or. And we're reminded that we're lifted up, that could last all year long. It's a light, it's a licht that could last with us. And Chanukah could do that for all of us. May Hashem will. I'm going to share a story. Also, I've said over before, but I don't know ever with the Nashim Tikkanios. I'll read it to you. I don't remember even where I saw this originally. I have it in my notes. I remember knowing it was a true story. Harry Jones, the local town's mechanic, had achieved the American dream through hard work and dedication. Had a beautiful wife and 2 sons. A nice house, a dog, a successful business, and 2 late model cars. Life was good. His neighbors liked him. His 2 boys were studious and had many friends. But Harry had a secret that no one in his town suspected. Harry was born in Warsaw and named Herschel Miller, or Heshy. His parents and siblings called him Heshy. Harry Jones was really a Holocaust survivor, a Jew. Heshy was the youngest of 5 brothers and 3 sisters. Warsaw ghetto. They were all forced into. Rav Yeruchim Miller and the whole family were crammed into a small apartment with 3 other families. There was never enough food. Daily selection soon became the norm. Families were torn from each other to be sent to different labor camps. Through all of these tribulations, the Millers managed to maintain a semblance of normalcy. Shabbos was still a fairly joyful day. Whatever food was available somehow tasted better. 3 days before Chanukah, the Nazis barged into the apartment and took Heshy and 3 of his brothers with them. A few hours later, the boy found himself in Auschwitz death camp. 13-year-old Heshy grew up very quickly during the next 3 years of horror, surrounded by sickness, death, and the stench from the crematoria. Somehow he managed to survive. As soon as the war ended, he set out to find his family. Once again, he told himself the millers would sit together on Shabbos amidst song and delicious foods, as a candlelight and its warmth surrounded them. But all too soon he realized no one but him was left. His life, his dreams, had all been destroyed. Whatever faith he still had now crumbled. After a while, he met a girl with a very similar life story and married her. They moved to upstate New York and kept the secret of their origins deep within their hearts, never revealing to anyone. 15 years, all went well, and the memories in his heart started to become blurred. But then something happened. As Jason, Harry's oldest, was about to turn 13, his father told him that on his birthday they would take him to the mall to choose whatever young Jason might like. Price would not be a consideration. He found them a short distance away, his face glued to the window of an antique store. "Dad, this is amazing. Come see this." "Come, Jason, why would I care about some old junk? Besides, a toy store, it's nearby." "But Dad, look at this. This is so cool. What is it?" Harry gave a quick glance and saw his son looking at a handcrafted wooden menorah. Some long-buried memories painfully emerged in his mind, but he wasn't ready to face the past. "I'm going to check it out." Jason hurried into the shop and headed straight for the wooden menorah. Harry followed his sons, hoping to dissuade him. "Dad, I want this for my birthday," said Jason as he held the menorah in his hand and looked at it in fascination. Nothing his father said could dissuade the boy. "You said I could have anything, and this is what I want." "That item's not for sale, sir. You see, it's actually a ritual Jewish lamp, a menorah. She was lighted on the holiday of Hanukkah. This one was handcrafted from wood chips during World War II. It will likely be worth a great deal of money for its historical value someday." He haggled with the man until he reached $1,400, at which point the storekeeper realized that he couldn't ask much more or would risk getting nothing. Jason was all smiles as together with his father he left for home. Jason went to his room with his new toy and tried to figure out how to play with it, while Harry sat down in the kitchen to talk to his wife. Suddenly, a loud crash came from upstairs room. Harry, fearing the worst, ran up. His fears realized. The menorah had fallen and shattered into many pieces. He was about to berate his son, but saw on the boy's face that he was already punishing himself. "Let me help you clean this up," muttered Harry. So he was picking up the pieces. He found a rolled up piece of paper in one of the hollowed arms of the menorah. Curious, he fished it out and found a note in Yiddish. He read it as it became gradually pale and paler. Harry screamed and fainted. It took a while before he could recover enough to stay conscious without fainting again. "What did the note say?" asked his wife. Harry read it to her. "I made this menorah with the hope that I will light it on the first day of Hanukkah. I don't know if I'll make it through the next 7 or the next Hanukkah. I've concealed this note in the hope that whoever finds it will say Mishnayos for my soul and try to perform as many mitzvahs as possible for me. It's the only hope I have left." Rabbi Yerucham Miller, son of Rav Herschel Miller. Jason's grandfather. Harry's father's menorah. Harry Hershey, who was named after his grandfather. Only Hanukkah. Only Hanukkah. I don't have to tell you the end of the story. How this family, Chayzer B'tshuva, Shomer Torah Mitzvos, it's obvious. This is a family in the darkest of places. A family that had no inkling of light. A family, they didn't live in a makom where there was NCSY or Olami or anybody trying to be makari of them. And the children knew from nothing, did not even know they were Jewish. But something in their neshama was pulled towards the Chanukah menorah. And that's the Chanukah menorah. Chanuk menorah of that very boy's grandfather who perished in the Holocaust. But that's what Chanukah does for each and every one of us. Hanukkah, wherever we are, whatever darkness is in our life, whatever nisyonos, whatever trials and tribulations for us, for our family, Hanukkah could lift us up. The light of Hanukkah could lift us up. But then we have to stay lichtig and realize that if we're not lifted up, maybe it's because the choil is blurring our eyes. Maybe because we're not allowing ourselves to taste the delicious kedusha and aura of Torah mitzvahs. Because we're blurring our eyes through the values of the world that we live in. Through the values of materialism, the values of the mundane. To each and every one of us, Bez Hashem, let's look forward to Shechiyanu v'Kiyamanu v'Yigenu l'Zman Hazeh. Let's look forward to Nochan Chanukah, Bez Hashem. Nochan Chanukah to be lifted up. Let's be mekadesh ourselves, to devote ourselves to Ruchnius, to devote ourselves to the Ner, to the Or of Torah Mitzvahs. And all that's going to happen through that, is going to be Zoyecha to stay lifted up with the Kedusha and with that light. Till we're Zoyecha to the ultimate light, with Biz Mashiach, B'Lashlema, B'mehera B'Yameinu.